Ladies, today we are looking at how fear of the future can cause us to have some things happen in our lives where instead of walking in victory, instead of walking in glory and manifesting the Lord's glory, we're walking as fearful people. What does it look like? Y'all just show me. What does it look like if you're afraid? Give me a visual here. Okay, some of you aren't participating. Some of you did not participate. You did a very good job sharing. Show me. Oh, there you go, Vanette. What is it? I mean, there are different symptoms. Sometimes if we truly are startled, we may have this look on our face, but a lot of times we're kind of wringing our hands inside of us, inside of ourselves, right? It's something that's going on inside of our what? Our minds? Exactly. And that's what this study is about. It's about the Plan A woman in a Plan B world and how we manage our minds, how we manage our thought life. And do you agree that the more we can manage our thought life, then the more we can walk in the victory that God wants us to walk in on a daily basis? And so we're talking about our thoughts. We're talking about what goes on up here and inside of us. And we see our principle, our truth today, that I can disarm landmines of fear when I respond to fear in faith. This is not saying, our study today is not saying that there will not be times of fear. There will be times of fear. When you receive a diagnosis of cancer or some other disease, that is a normal reaction to have some fears. Or if someone you love is diagnosed or hospitalized. When we heard of the terrible earthquake in Haiti, it would be abnormal for us not to fear that there were many thousands buried under the rubble. That is a normal, healthy thing to have great concern and to fear that there are people buried alive. So there are normal fears that we are supposed to have. It is good that we are cautiously fearful if we have to walk to a parking garage in the dark by ourselves. That is a normal, natural fear. The fear of the Lord is a healthy fear. And we are told that the fear of the Lord is even the beginning of wisdom. We are not talking about those fears today. Today, what we are talking about is that worrisome, gnawing fear when things aren't going like we expected them to, anticipated, planned for them to go. We may have a child that's rebellious from this age up to whatever age. We may have a marriage that is not working out. We may see our bank account going down, down, down. We may have lost our job. And so there are some other kinds of fears that we are talking about today. And we are looking at how Jesus just wants to put his arms around you and say, I get it. I know what you're going through. You are not invisible to me, nor is your child. But what I want to say to you is that I am here. And there are some things that I can do to help you navigate through this troublesome, fearful time of your life. So I pray that today you would receive the encouragement that God has for you and me. We want to look and we want to think about what fear is. What is fear? What is it even? Fear is defined as an unpleasant, often strong emotion. It is a strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Some describe it as an anxious concern. And as we said, it can be a normal fear, it can be an abnormal fear, it can be a biblical fear. However, there are some unhealthy fears. And sometimes we even have fears of things that are perceived threats, but they haven't really happened. Nor are they even going to happen. How many of you even had that happen? This week, I had that. It's so funny, the different kinds of things that can just startle us, that can just make us feel a little bit of fearful. And you've probably experienced some of those this week, haven't you? So sometimes we have things that cause us to maybe feel a little bit fearful, and they're not even legitimate. So there are all those kinds. Now, we want to see that God offers faith in the place of fear. And we want to ask this question, why should I faith it instead of fear it? So let's look at some of these. And I want us to start from the scientific reason why we should faith it instead of fear it. And then we'll move to the biblical reason. First of all, I want us to recognize that science is now able to demonstrate that there is a link between fear and disease. So if you're sitting here and maybe you're not even a Christian, but you have just come as a seeker, well, here is a very good reason on a scientific level for you to consider faithing it in the Lord God instead of fearing it, because it is a proven scientific link now between fear and disease and anxiety disease. I quoted Dr. Caroline Leaf a couple of weeks ago, and I want to comment on something that she has said regarding faith and fear. She said, faith and fear are not just emotions, but spiritual forces with chemical and electrical representation in the body. Let me repeat that. Faith and fear are not just emotions. They are spiritual forces with chemical and electrical representation in the body. Consequently, they directly impact bodily function. There's another scientific reason or medical reason. The more anxious or subject to distress or depression a person is, the more prone he or she will be to dementia. Now, girlfriends, that's a reason to faith it instead of fear it. And what we are having in here, and I'm so glad for each one of you who is present, is, as we've said before, our society, our families, our children, our spouses, you have a lot of influence. You've got friends who aren't at this study. You've got relatives who aren't at this study. And you are able to model faithing it instead of fearing it. We are that remnant who can do that. So this is very important. For your body, if you're worried about getting dementia, then it is proven that the more anxious or subject to distress or depression you are, the more you will, there seems to be a link to dementia. So we can do some things with our minds to help our minds. The second reason we want to faith it instead of fear it is God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, just say that aloud with me. God has not given me a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 in the King James Version says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if I'm walking around with a spirit of fear in me, is that spirit of fear from God? No, it's either my natural way I came into this world that needs to be reconformed and transformed to the image of Christ. I need to address what that fear is. I need to look at it. I need to see what it is. And I need to handle it in the biblical way that God gives us today that we're going to be looking at. Now, the third reason that we want to faith it instead of fear it is God tells me not to fear. If there was no other reason, then that would be enough, wouldn't it? Because God tells me, do not fear. And so if God, my Lord, my Creator, the one who wired me, says, Debbie, do not fear, then don't I, as his child, need to be obedient? We do, ladies. This is an act of obedience. Now, there are 17 truths today that I want us to get into our minds. 17, and we are going to... Actually, there are 18. I'm going to give you one that I didn't put on your listening guide. But I want this to be a faith-building few moments for you. And as you get these truths into your mind, personalize them very much. When you go home, if we don't have time to look up each one in our Bibles today, take them home and build on those and keep those close to you and look them up over and over, especially if fear is one of these landmines that hurts you as you're walking through your Plan B world. The first reason, first truth we want to get into our minds about why God tells us not to fear is the Lord goes ahead of me. The Lord goes ahead of me. Wherever I'm going, the Lord goes ahead of me. And he will be with me. He will not fail or forsake me. Would you read that aloud with me? The Lord goes ahead of me. With me. Would you read that again, please?
The Lord goes ahead of me. Will be with me. And will not fail or forsake me.
Do you believe it? Think about it, ponder it, meditate on it. The Lord goes ahead of you. So whatever you are going to be facing down the road, He's there. He knows it. And He will help you navigate it. That's what through it. That's why Jesus said that we should not be anxious. I want you to look at these verses, if we have time to look at a few of them together. I had such a blessed time going through and studying in preparation for our time together today. In Deuteronomy 31:8, Moses is speaking to Joshua. And he said to him, Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, as Moses was getting ready to pass the mantle of leadership from himself to Joshua, and he said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance." Listen, verse 8, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you. Just say that again. God will not fail me. Would you say it again?
God will not fail me.
Exactly. God will not fail you. Do not fear. Do you see those words right there? Do not fear or be dismayed. There's a second reason. A second truth that we need to get into our mind about why we should not fear, and that is that angels are at God's bidding. Angels are at God's bidding. Ladies, we do not see angels today, but all through the Bible, angels are spoken about. They are represented. They are manifested. And we believe, because God's word teaches us that He has a created order of beings called angels. They are God's messengers. They are sent to protect us. They are sent to do God's bidding. In 2 Kings 6, verses 8 and following, we see where Elijah is confronted with the king who is threatening war against Israel. And we see in verse 15 that the attendant of Elijah, he's referred to as the man of God, he had risen early and he had gone out, and behold, an army with horses and chariots, enemy horses and chariots, were circling the city. And his servant said to him, Elijah said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Because the attendant is there, he is fearful. He is fearful. Because here is this huge army of the enemy, and the adrenaline and the fear is rushing through him. And he says to Elijah, "What shall we do?" And Elijah says, "Do." That's right. Do not fear. That's what you're to do. And sometimes that may be your very situation. You're just saying, "What should I do, God? What should I do?" Have you ever thought that? "God, what should I do?" He says, "Do not fear, not fear, not fear, not fear, not fear." We are seeing this. And I just selected a few of the verses that we could have looked at. And he says, why not to fear? He said, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elijah prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Ladies, you have angelic protection all around you, around your children, around your loved ones. Our eyes don't see, but they are there. Just like the forces, spiritual forces of wickedness and world darkness are here, so are God's spiritual forces of angelic beings and good. It's only when we get to heaven, and I think this will be so much fun, that we will find out all the times we might have had car accidents, we might have fallen ill, we might have had this situation or that or that or this, or we could just keep going on. And when we get to heaven, we'll find out how many times God interceded and intercepted some devastation on our behalf. And I believe we'll spend eternity thanking God and praising Him for all those many times. So that gives you confidence regarding yourself and your children, your loved ones. Third, we see the battle is not my battle. It's God's when I'm in service to Him. Ladies, if you are a mommy, you are employed in service to God. You're raising one of His created beings. And the battle that you sometimes feel with that child, the battle is not yours, it's God's. Go to Him and ask Him how to raise, how to discipline. If you're in marriage, That is a relationship. That is a God-orchestrated covenant. Go to Him. Go to Him. Because God never intended that we manage through this life by ourselves. We see this in 2 Chronicles 20:15 when he says, "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great battle." Again, great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God. The fourth reason is God is greater than any other God. And you may feel like, oh, well, I've just got all these things going on around me, or I've got all of these problems. But again, we see in 2 Chronicles 30, verses 7 and 8, and I'm going to turn to that very quickly. But he says, "Be strong and courageous." Again, do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria and because of all the horde that is with him. For the one greater with us is greater than the one with him. You may be worried about your child on drugs. You may be worried about your husband with pornography. You may be worried about whatever it may be. But greater is the one with you to whom you can pray. Do not fear. Do not fear. Pray. Put this in God's hands. We see another reason that's a very familiar reason to you and me from our fifth point, and that is God is with me in even in the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23:4. We quote this scripture so often, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me." I visited with a woman this morning, and she said she had been in the hospital, and she thought she might die. And she said, "You know, I was really ready. I was really ready to see what heaven would be like." The process of dying is not pleasant, is it? For most people, that process, that transition is not pleasant. But we have God who will walk through us through that valley, and we can trust in that. The seventh reason and the seventh thing we need to get into our minds is that God hears my cry. God hears my cry. Psalm 145:19 said, "He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them." Would you just say, "God hears my cry"? Do you believe it? He does. And again, do you see how we are seeing this same repeated phrase over and over and over? Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Jesus just wants to wrap his big hairy arms around you. I figure they have hair, don't you? He just wants to wrap his big hairy arms around you and say, "Do not fear." You know, he's a big old burly guy. He's a carpenter. I've shared before, I can't stand those Easter productions where it's got this little white mealy mouse Jesus, you know, that just looks like he's just been in a closet all of his life, you know, eating oatmeal. I mean, Jesus was a hunk. You know, he was. He was a carpenter. Have you ever seen a wimpy carpenter? He's a big old strong guy, muscles. And he's your Jesus. He's your Savior. He's your God. And he says, "I got you covered. I've got your back. I've got your forward. I've got your side. I've got you. Do not fear." We see another eighth reason, and that is God is the stability of my times. Wow, is that a good verse for us? God is the stability of my times. Would you say that? God is the stability of my times. Anybody feel like it's an unstable time? God is the stability of my time. Isaiah 33:6 says, "And he will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." Turn to Isaiah 41:10 for our next one, because I believe that each of these verses I just read to you, Isaiah 33:6, Isaiah 41:10, we see Isaiah, who is a great prophet, recognizing the times in which they live, but also looking at how we navigate through the plan B world in which we are as God's people. And in Isaiah 41:10, we see this ninth point, that God will strengthen me and he will help me. He will uphold me with his righteous right hand. Oh, I love that verse. I love that verse. Learn it, memorize it. In Isaiah 41:10, Isaiah says, "Do not fear." Again, we're saying it, aren't we? Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you. Some of you may be saying, "I don't think I can do this child rearing by myself since my husband left me." God says he'll uphold you. Now you can choose to let your mind just wander in fear and experience the proven now toxic chemicals and reactions and how it will affect you bodily. Or you can choose to believe. You can choose to have faith. Some of you may be recently widowed and saying, I can't do widowhood alone. I cannot do this. I fear going to the nursing home. I fear being alone. I fear, and I understand those. God does. That's why he's written so many words to us of encouragement. We see a tenth reason, and that is that God has redeemed me and he has called me by name. I am God. Say that. I am God's. Believe it. Isaiah 43:1 again. He says, but now thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. The 11th thing we need to get into our minds is that God has given me his Holy Spirit. And Haggai 2:5, it says, as for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. God says, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. And today, we have that spirit within us. Jesus is just shouting at us this morning. He's just shouting at us, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. What's the message?
Do not fear.
Amen. Amen. The 12th reason, I am valuable to my Heavenly Father. He reminds us in Luke 12:7. He says, do not fear. You are far more valuable than many sparrows. Well, I would have liked for him to say you're far more valuable than the king's treasure. But I'll do with being more valuable than many sparrows, won't you? His point is that God takes care of the sparrows. And he's going to take care of us. There's an 13th reason that we should not fear. And we need to get this in our minds. Christ, my king, is coming for me. In John 12:15, we are told that Jesus said these very words. And you might want to turn to John 12:15 right there. And you might want to highlight that in your verse or in your Bible where Jesus is speaking. In John 12:15, this is after the anointing by Mary. It's during the triumphal entry as he is coming in. And he is going to the cross, not too far from then. And he says in verse 15, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. The king came into Jerusalem, and our king is coming one day for us. There's a 14th reason why we should not fear. In John 14:27, and this is the one that the Lord ministered to me with so much when Indy Anderson gave me a first diagnosis of ovarian cancer, and I was fearful. And fearful I would die, fearful I would leave my clingy two-year-old, fearful, not as fearful for Keith, because I figured he would be okay and remarry. But, you know, he's a pretty good catch. But he's a real good catch, stay away. But I was fearful, very fearful. And God ministered to me with this, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, Debbie. Peace I give to you, Debbie. Not as the world do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And he took me to the end of what would happen if I died. And the end would, I would die. And I would be in heaven. And he would take care of people. Amen? Amen. And he would take care of me through that process of death. Sometimes we need to go all the way to the end with our fears. And what's the very worst thing? Our husband might leave us. Our child might have a drug addiction, but God is always there. And on the other side of our worst fear, God is still there. And he will uphold us. He will sustain us. We see a 15th reason that we should not fear, and that is because I am receiving the crown of life, Revelation 2:10. Remember, ladies, go ahead and turn to that if you want to, Revelation 2:10. Remember, this life is not the end. This isn't the grand finale. This is the start. This is just the beginning of the race. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is not the end. This is the process by which we are redeemed through this world, through this Plan B world, and we are going to heaven. And we see this in Revelation 2:10, where Jesus is speaking, and he says, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Pay attention. Jesus is saying here to this church, you are going to suffer. And I believe this is extremely important. The prosperity movement teaches that if you're have enough faith, you won't get cancer or you'll get healed. If you have enough faith, you'll be rich. If you have enough faith, all these things, right? Well, Jesus had enough faith and he hung on the cross. He had enough faith and he died because God was going to do something greater than what man could see at the moment. And you believe it. You have faith that God is going to do something greater than you can see at this exact moment of whatever it is you're struggling with. There's something more. One of the big mores is in Revelation 2:10, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. Now, I want you to pay attention again, and the reason I call our attention and we stop at some of these verses and meditate on them, Jesus is acknowledging that there is a devil right here, okay? And you and I are very unwise and foolish women if we do not acknowledge that there is a devil. And so Jesus acknowledges that there is a devil and that he is the one who orchestrates many a dire situation that we're in. However, he says, behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation. And some of you right now, I know we're in a time of testing and tribulation. He said for 10 days, be faithful. That's what Jesus said, be faithful. I don't know what testing that you're in right now, but Jesus is calling. He is asking you, would you be faithful to me during this time of testing? Ladies, we talked about the very first week, how we were created and God gave us that ability and wired us to be able to rule, didn't he? But we've said we cannot rule our child. We cannot rule our husband. We cannot rule our employer, can we? But who can we rule? Ourselves. And so this is where Jesus is throwing the royal scepter to us, and he's saying, rule over your mind and your emotions by choosing as an act of your will to be faithful, to believe. And this is our opportunity. Be faithful, even until death. I will give you the crown of life. We're going to be up in heaven, walking around, flying around, woohoo, with our crowns on. We are the crown of life. We're going to have eternity. Keep that in mind because Jesus spoke so much of our today and not worrying about tomorrow while at the same time slipping in. Eternity's always there. Heaven is always there. It's where we're going. It's where we're bound. The 16th reason and thought we need to get into our mind is that God has rescued me from the enemy and wants me to serve him without fear. He wants me to serve him without fear. Ladies, it has got to be disturbing to God if he looks down at me and I am just wringing my hands and worrying about every single thing going on in my life and in my ministry and with my children and with my grandchild. And I mean, this is not what God wants to look down and see. Do you like seeing your child worried and distressed and anxious and upset? Do you like that? If you don't have children, do you like seeing somebody you care about walking around totally all the time consumed with being worried and anxious and fearful? Does that make your heart pleased to see somebody that you love be that way? Jesus has no plan for us to live like that. It was so fun this last week, the last 10 days, I shared with you all the opportunities that God gave me. And one that I didn't share with you about getting the opportunity, which we loved, of babysitting our 15-month-old grandson, Logan, was that Lauren had called me the night before they came from Frisco to bring Logan to us to keep him while they went out of town. And she said, Mom, Logan threw up again, and the doctor said that, moms can just go ahead and say throw up, right? And she said, the doctor said that a little infant can carry this virus in their little intestines for a couple of weeks, and it's okay for us to go out of town because he's doing good now, but that we just needed to warn whoever was taking care of him that they might get sick. Well, I'm thinking, Pray with Passion Conference in Phoenix, you know, over 500 women going to be there. And I'm like, oh, honey, you come. Of course we want to take care of Logan. And we did. But I also thought, I'm not going to get sick. I mean, I'm just not going to get sick. I just know I'm not going to get sick. I'm a pretty healthy old girl. Thursday morning when little Logan woke up about 4:45 with a wet diaper, I thought, oh, I just feel horrible. And I thought, I guess I'm probably just tired. I went on through the day and I thought, you know, I think I'm just going to throw up. I think I'm sick. And I thought, oh, I bet it's because I took my vitamin on an empty stomach. Well, by 3 o'clock, I had it. And I just had to watch him every single second because he wanted to play with the fireplace tools and he wanted to, and I'd already cleared everything that could break or he could stick that I thought. The one thing that I had not taken out of the house, I am in the bathroom, wadding. And I get up and I clean myself up and I turn around and I look over because I couldn't grab him as I was dressing in the bathroom. And I look around, and here he comes, just grinning, with the fireplace tool, with the big hook on it, just smiling and waving. And I'm like, oh. So I went, and I moved the fireplace tools outside with him crying, wanting them. I picked up the piano bench, because he loves to play on the piano, and we would sit there and play the piano. So I picked up the piano bench. I was just like, oh. I set it up on top of the breakfast table. I was like, I've got to be prepared for the next time I have to run to the bathroom. But, so I ended up with the little 24-hour virus. But the thing and the reason I'm going here with all of this is it is so sweet as I was looking through and thinking about the fact that I was supposed to leave for the airport the next morning by 8. And couldn't get hold of Keith to come home and help. Of course, he was on the bench. And so I just kept trying to think, okay, I can manage through this day. That's fine. But what am I supposed to do about tomorrow? And I didn't want to get on the plane and take my virus to other people. It was a big, huge thing. Plus, I knew I couldn't fly if I was still sick. But it was just sort of like, well, if I wake up in the morning and I'm well, I'm well. And if I'm not, I'm not. I mean, in life kind of... bottom line it. I mean, it really doesn't do any good to worry about it or to be afraid of, well, what will happen if I can't go? That won't be my problem, will it? It'll be the event planner, her problem. No, seriously, I was very concerned. But at the same time, ladies, there are just some things that doesn't do any good to worry about it, right? Doesn't do any good to fear it. And Keith, came in and said, what are you going to do? He got home and ran to bed. And he said, what are you going to do in the morning, honey? Are you going? I said, I don't know. I'll get up in the morning and see. Of course, I shot an immediate call, said, call Kathy Thomas and have her send out prayer requests. And a bunch of y'all prayed for me, didn't you? Can I see your hands? Woohoo! Thank you. Because all through the night, I would wake up and I would just pray. And then at 5 a.m., the last time I woke up, well, not the last time I woke up, but I was like, I'm okay. I can do this. And so I jumped up and got my shower and was ready for Logan when he woke up at 6:30. And then Keith took over at 7 and we teamed and we both walked out the door at 8. So it worked out. So God is good. And I just think that, our point is instead of walking around worried, will I get sick? Worried. Will I be able to make that? Worried. Will I whatever? It's just, okay, you know what? This is life. And there are going to be some very horrible things, divorce, disease. There are going to be some just inconveniences. There's going to be car wrecks. There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on in life. There's going to be drugs. There's going to be alcohol. There's going to be abuse. There's going to be children making lifestyle choices we don't like. There's going to be all those kinds of things. But we are not alone. And God calls me. He wants me to serve him without fear. Our 17th point is that Jesus calls me to be a woman of faith, not fear. And when Jesus was on the boat and the storms were blowing, we see in Luke 8:25, he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Last night I was walking around and trying to do a million little things at the same time like I always do. And I grabbed my pills and my vitamins and I stuck them in my house coat pocket. And I was going to take them later. I was going to go get a drink of water, but I was carrying the towels to the washer, and so I just stuck them in my pocket. Y'all do that, don't you? Just a million things because you're doing this, and I wish I'd been raised to know how to put a pot on my head and walk with it. That would have been even more efficient. Anyway, this morning I got up, and I was going into my study, and I put my hands in my pocket, and I was like, oh, they're all my pills, my allergy pills, my, vitamins, all these kind of things. It's like they were there. I didn't take them. And Jesus says, where's your faith? It doesn't do any good in your pocket. It doesn't do any good at home. If you're at work, it doesn't do any good if you're not taking it right. And so Jesus says to you today, where's your faith? Don't leave it in your pocket. Don't leave it in your Bible. Don't leave it at home. Don't leave it at church. Take it right then. Take it right that moment. And I'm adding an 18th point that you don't have on your listening guide. Why we should have faith instead of fear is without faith it is impossible to please God. Ladies, that breaks my heart. Hebrews 11:6 says very clearly, without faith it is impossible to please God. And I want to please God. Don't you? I don't want to just have faith so that my heart and spirit are more relaxed and I don't get dementia or some disease. I want to please my Heavenly Father. I want to make Him happy. Don't you? Just say, I want to please God. Then you must be a woman of faith, not fear. Hebrews 11 tells us faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You may say, well, I just don't see how my husband's ever going to get better. I don't see how my child will get off drugs. I don't see how this situation, I don't see how we're going to make it financially. I don't see how I could ever be happy in a nursing home. I don't see how I can be happy alone. I don't see. Has that ever stopped God from doing something? Because you can't see it. It says, for by it, men of old gained approval. You see over and over and over. I wish you'd highlight in your Bible like I highlighted. I put by faith, by faith, by faith. Turn it over. By faith, by faith, by faith. And it tells us it's a story of God's history with His people. Let it also be journaled in your life by faith, by faith, by faith. I don't know how many of you journal, but I love being able to record my prayers in a journal. And I pray it pleases God to see by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. By faith is the key here. And he says in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. He is what? He is. Remember, I am, God said to Moses. He is. He is every single thing you could need, dear friends. There is a principle that we need to look at that's very important in this regard, and that is for every fear, there's a facet of God's character to which we can look. Would you just think about that with me again? For every fear we have, there is a facet of God's character to which we can look. If you were with me in the study, Pray with Purpose, Live with Passion, you know how I encouraged you to memorize those 26 A to Z divine attributes. Why? Because when I fear, I don't have the strength, I can say, but Lord, You are the Almighty. And when I have the fear that I'm not going to know what to do or if I'm going to make the right decision or wrong decision, I can say, but Lord, You are the quickening Spirit. And when I feel and fear that I may not come through on something that I am committed to do, I remember, Lord, I'm not sure I can get this done, but I am reminded, but Lord, You are the upholder. And when I might fear for my children that they might not come to salvation or that they might, but which both of mine have it when they were little, but just as an example, but if I have a fear for my child, I can say, but Lord, You are a shield about them. But Lord, You are the guardian of my soul. And look, ladies, it is just so precious in whatever fear situation you have your mind prepared to do the battle. This is my fear. And it may be very legitimate or it may not be. But then you say, but Lord, You, this is who You are. This is the concern I have. But Lord, You are the Almighty God. You are the Beloved. You are the Comforter. So if I'm in a nursing home, if I'm stuck in a hospital bed, You are the Comforter. You are the one who comforts the depressed, 2 Corinthians says. Lord, You are the door. There is a way out of this and through this plan B world I'm in. Lord, You're eternal. And so You have an eternal plan going on here, and I want to be on board with You. Lord, You are faithful. Oh, I don't have to fear because You are faithful. Lord, You are good. You're the guardian of my soul. You are holy. Lord, I've got this sin in my life, and I fear because of it. But you are holy, and I just pray that you would wash me with your holiness. Lord, you're Emmanuel. I am so alone, God. I am so alone. But you are here with me. You are just, Father, I am so disgusted at this injustice in our society and our system and the courts and politics and whatever it might be. But God, this isn't all it is. You are just, and you will reign with majesty. Lord, you are the King. And I give my life, my soul, my mind, my heart for you to reign. Lord, you are a light. All I see right now is darkness. I'm overwhelmed with depression. I'm in a dark hole. But, Lord, you are light. And, Lord, you are majestic. Oh, ladies, the snowfall, the big flakes, the sunrise, the stars. I don't care what time you're going through a fearful, disturbing time. Find a window. Find a window. Look outside. I had so much fun taking Logan on a walk and looking for birds and looking for a little flower or looking for a log and watching him hold that little piece of wood and just be fascinated by it. Isn't it wonderful? You're majestic. You're a God of new life. What if you're sitting here today and you say, I want my old life back. I liked my old life better. He is still the God of new life. And he can make the new better. I've heard so many thousands and thousands of women's testimonies where they said, I thought I was going to die. I thought I was at the end. I thought it would never get better. But God. Would you just say, but God. But God. Ladies, you and I have got to get to a point where we are willing to say, I don't like what's going on in my life right now. But, God, if this is where you need me to be, with this rebellious child, the cranky husband, the no finances, the health issues, if this is where you can use me, then, God, I accept it. Use me in this situation. He may need you to be the example that your children watch for how to handle difficulties. A grave concern that I just read in the paper this week is about children who are cutting now. Did you read the article? And how there were so many fifth graders who were cutting. I remember at one book signing in Dallas last year, this woman stood before me and she said, well, which of your books do you think I should have? And I said, well, tell me a little bit about yourself and where you are in life. And she was young. She was probably in her 20s, maybe 30s. And she said, I cut. I looked at her and then I looked at her arms and she red marks all over. Why would somebody cut? Well, in this newspaper article, and I'm sorry I didn't bring it, but it was this last, maybe it was Sunday's paper, I can't remember, but it talked about how one of the mental health experts was addressing why children are cutting, and some are doing it to be popular in groups, horrible, but some of them are doing it because it said children are under more stress now than they've ever been under, and they do it as a way to just, the numbness in the world, whatever they're doing, to just deal with what they're going through. Ladies, life is stressful today. Do it right so that your children, your husband, your friends can see how you do it. That's all God's asking. He has equipped us. Do it right. And if you're in here today and you are a cutter or you're anorexic or you have eating problems or you have other mental health problems or whatever it may be, you are with a group of women and girlfriends who love you. Find somebody to talk to. Talk to me. Find somebody to pray with you. Find somebody to help you be accountable. Find somebody that you can say, when I feel like I'm just about going over the edge, can I please shoot you an email and ask you to pray for me? I have no problem ever in shooting an email to Kathy Thomas and saying, get this to people. I mean, why should I be so proud? I act like I don't need any help, that I don't need additional spiritual intercession. There's a war going on. There's spiritual battles going on. Get your friends to be joining you in prayer. And in your discussion groups, Don't be just flighty on the surface of what's going on in your life. Share, and then you be sure that you keep confidential what you share with one another. We have to have a place where we can come together as women and really talk, right? This is it. This is why we have this for you, so you can really talk. And if you can just find one person in your group you can talk to them, but let people pray for you. There is power in prayer. That is an expression of your faith. I want to look very quickly at just some practical ways that we can diffuse fear with faith. You know, so what are some of the fears that we may have? Well, we may fear for our children. And I just want to mention as an aside to some of you, because I think that some of us don't have children, some of us have children, some of them are grown children. But ladies, if I could give you any gift, it would be for you to memorize those A to Z attributes of God. It really would be. How many of you could say those have helped me? I'm seeing many of your hands. And after I did that, I'm obsessed with knowing Christ. I mean, I will tell you, I'm obsessed. Anytime I read the Bible, I'm highlighting how He expresses Himself, who He is. And I think that's one reason I'm enjoying life more now than at any time in my life, because I'm just able to say, oh, this thing is going on, but God, You are. It's just the sweetest thing. I've collected, poor little Cynthia, I've collected over 300 names and attributes and characteristics of God. We started with 26 here, A to Z. And then I was like, I would just keep adding. I would say, Cynthia, I've got 100 now. Would you mind putting those in a little booklet for me for 100? And when I kneel and pray, I use those, and I pray a different divine attribute every day, praising Him for that attribute, and then also praying that for my children, praying that for my husband. You're the defender, you're the deity, you're the delight, you're the deliverer, you're the divine, you dwell on high, you're a dwelling place, you're earnest, you're an encourager, you're enthroned on high, you're eternal, everlasting arms, everlasting Father, you're meek, you're merciful, you're mighty. Oh, it is so much fun! It is so much fun to increasingly know who your Heavenly Father is. And it will help you. It will help you. And then do this also, ladies. Teach your children. Teach them, if you're worried about them, teach them that He is the armor. Teach them that He is the helper. Teach them that He is the potter. We have no reason to be fearful. We have every reason to be joyful and to walk in faith. Years ago, I wrote this poem. It says, when your faith is tested and your spirit's low, just remember God's got you, and you've got to let go. Hanging on to worry, letting fear be a pet, leads only to more worry and eventually regret. For the life of faith is joyous, an exciting one indeed, as you see God's success when your heart He has freed. So release all your worry. Put an end to your gloom, for it's just the beginning of a life about to bloom. If you have fears for your children, study Genesis 21, 17 through 20, and look at how, if you want to turn there real quick, look at how God heard the lad, Hagar's son, crying in the wilderness after Abraham sent her away. Hagar was the maidservant of Abraham. God heard the lad crying. If you have a fear for your child, you need to study this passage and you need to see how God heard the child crying, and God cares about your children. Live out loud. Pay attention to heavenly questions and assurances. I would truly like to invite you to examine closely this week, before you jump to your next week's study, to examine these passages that I have given you, because they are a whole lesson in themselves. Study the live out loud points that I've given you on your listening guide in relation to those Bible passages, because we see how God had heavenly questions and assurances. And He said to Hagar, arise, lift up the child. Ladies, we lift up our children in prayer. Hold him by the hand. Receive God's promises. Open your eyes to God's provision. Hagar was sitting there, a bow shot away from her little boy, Ishmael, that she thought was going to die, because she said, I don't want to see him die. Now, I'm not sure how far a bow shot was. My bow shot would be from about here to here. But maybe Hagar was a good, you know, shot or whatever you call it, marksman. But Hagar, they had run out of water. And so she was fearful that her son was going to die. And he was, with no water. Her infant, he's probably 2 or 3, I'm sorry. And so she said, I cannot watch him die. I cannot. And so she put him under a bush, out of the sun, and then she goes over here and she sits down across from him because she did not want to see him die. And God said, Hagar, Hagar. And then he pointed her to a well. Please let God be your GPS, your God positioning system, the Holy Spirit. He is so ready to guide you. He does. Don't you dare tell me that he doesn't. I'll come back at you on any issue. He will guide you with your finances. He will guide you with your children. He will guide you with your marriage. He will guide you with your boss. He will guide you with your work. He will guide you with your commitments. He will guide you with your calendar. Specifics. He will guide you. So, and we need to be living that. God said to Hagar, he said, fill the skin with the water. And ladies, us put on here for us, fill our skin. I got skin. And my skin needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Just say, I need my skin filled. I need my skin filled with the Holy Spirit. I really do. That's the best thing I can give my children. So that when they have questions or they need mentoring or my husband or you, I need my skin filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the life. Just like Hagar needed to fill that animal skin with water to give life to her child. Fear for ourselves and our families is another one. We fear how others' actions will affect us. We fear we may not be able to provide for our families and workers. We fear the future. We fear our enemies. But Genesis 26:24 said that the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. I am with you. I will bless you and multiply you. And I would love for you to look at that passage, because that is the passage in the scriptures. Oh, it's such a powerful passage, because it tells over and over and over of how Jacob was wandering through the wilderness of Paran, and Isaac, and every place that he would go, he would unstop the well that his father Abraham had built, and he would dig that well out, and then the Philistines would come and they envied him, and they would fill his well up, and so Jacob would have to move and go to another well, and then they would come and they would fill up that well, and so he would have to go to another well. And you may just feel like, I'm doing everything right, I'm going where God tells me, I'm getting ready to experience his blessings, and then just one more thing happens. How many of you ever felt just one more thing happens? Just one more thing. Read Genesis 26. It is a powerful, powerful passage. And we see and hear that although life is tough, people envy you. They take what is yours. They stop your efforts. They contend with you and are quarrelsome as the Israelites were. I mean, as the Philistines were. God will provide. And then others. You read all the way to the end of that chapter, and the enemy was able to see that God had provided. For that fear of failure, that there's no way out, that you're trapped, that there's no way of moving forward, that your enemy is going to win, that you're backed into a corner, that there are no more options. Have you ever felt that way? That you've made a mistake, and though you thought you followed God's will, that it's too late. He's failed us. We failed him. We're going to drown under our responsibilities. We can accomplish what he's given us to do. That's right where the children of Israel were when they were backed against the Red Sea. And God said to them that he never intended them to accomplish, never intended for them to accomplish what he had given them to do. Never had he done that. He said for Moses to stand back and to watch what God was going to do. Ladies, as we look at our choice, we see that we can choose to defuse fear with faith. We can say with the psalmist in Psalm 46:12, I will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. We can prepare ourselves for future problems or fears by extending our roots into the soil of God's Word. And with prayer, as Jeremiah 17:8 says, we can, instead of fearing things, we can fear God with a healthy fear and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13 sums it up well for us. He says the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. Live out loud. This is your call. Train your mind to do a quick redirect when fears arise. Look at the fear, then in faith, look to God. Praise Him for His sufficiency to meet every need. Love out loud. Model faith rather than fear to family and friends. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give people. And finally, laugh out loud. Rejoice that you are not alone. Rejoice in Christ your Savior. Rejoice that you do not have to fear. Would you read Deuteronomy 31:8 with me in closing? The Lord is the one that goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Amen. Father, how we praise you and thank you. Ladies, would you say amen if you agree? Amen. You do not want us to fear. You call us to be women of faith. And ladies, if you would just commit and say to God in our time of prayer right now, in agreement, I want to be a woman of faith. Would you say that?
I want to be a woman of faith.
Father, you heard her prayer, and I pray you increase her faith mightily. In Jesus' name, amen.